Hey, 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 it's your girl Esther UA, and you are listening to the Godversations Podcast. Welcome back, people, to another episode of Godversations with Esther UA. I'm super excited to be doing this. Today's episode is something that I really want to talk about. It's been on my heart for some time now to talk about. But yeah, before we jump into it, I'm gonna get right back to that. I just want to let you guys know that a lot has been happening, and I've just been doing a lot trying to figure out how I can, you know, be a blessing to people, how I can feed people's hearts and minds, and how I can be a resource, right? So just know that I'm praying about a lot of things, and I'm praying for people, for everyone who visits my page, for everyone who listens to the things that I'm putting out or whatever, and for everybody who prays for me, encourages me as well. I'm praying, and I'm praying that God, you know, reaches out to people and touches you guys where you need it the most. So yeah, today I just want to have a conversation. I want to talk to children of God. Well, I want to talk to people my age and below. And I mean, if you can relate to this and you're older, I don't even know. See, I haven't figured out the generation thing, but I know that we have millennials. I know we have generation X, Y, Z, right? So I'm guessing that's the... Is it demographic? I don't know how to speak the English. That's the group of people, Sha, that I want to speak to today, you know. And the reason why I have been stalling a lot on this particular conversation is because, I mean, we're all human beings, so we're all imperfect. And there's so many times when I genuinely make mistakes and I slip up myself, and the devil is just like, hey girl, what you think about yourself now? And I'm just like, please, can you really take it back, sis? That's not what this is about. I'm going to have a conversation about this mess up with my daddy, and we're going to take it from there. But, you know, really, putting the whole self-judgmentalism, if there's a word like that, so I'm terrible with words, if you guys haven't noticed. If there's a word like that, putting that whole thing, self-doubt, you know, just really feeling guilty aside and everything, I think that God has put it in my heart to just share and to just talk about this, because we are called to a standard, especially if you're a child of God, especially if you're a Christian. The standard just gets higher and higher as you go deeper and deeper in God. There are lots of expectations and responsibilities, and people hear this and they think that it's something to be scared about, but it's not. It's really beautiful to live life on a higher level. Trust me, it's so beautiful to be, you know, to just be held in such high regard by God, you know, as his child and as somebody he can trust with big things. He can trust you with big instructions and big responsibilities. Amazing. I mean, there is the work side of it, but it's also very good for your heart and very good for your mind and good for your soul. That being said, I think that we need to do better as a collective, and I'm including myself, I'm already included in this collective. We just need to do better, because I see a lot of people, I have a lot of friends, family members, people that I just know, and I just try to do a little bit of research, you know. Almost everybody I come in contact with claims to be a Christian. So 99% of the people I know are Christians. Oh no, actually, let's say 97% of the people I know are Christians. There's a greater percentage of them that don't believe in anything or any God. And then I now have a few Muslims, yeah, in my circle. And this circle is big, because I'm not even just limiting it to my friends, my immediate friends or family or people I interact, people I know. And I just think that there seems to be a disparity in lifestyle and association. What am I trying to say? You claim to be a child of God. You claim to be a Christian, but you're out here living life in a way that speaks nothing about the God that you claim to know and love, right? And it's not going to work. It's not going to work here or now or ever. And most especially, it's not going to work in his kingdom, you know. God doesn't want people that are fake. God does not want people that are using Christianity for clout. You can't be. And I mean, if, as I'm saying, God does not mean in my mind, something is telling me, ah, don't say that. But the truth of the matter is that even you as a person, will you want somebody that's just associating with you because they want, you know, the clout that comes with that, or they want the whatever that comes with that? You don't want that. You want people who are there for you, who are real friends. God wants you to be his friend for real. He wants you to have his back the same way you expect him to have your back, right? So if having his back means letting go of some things, letting go of some habits, then why is it such a big thing for you to give up? Let's talk about the reasons why there seems to be the gap, right, between the God we know and love and the lifestyle that we live, which does not speak much about that. I think that majorly when I talk to people about this, what I hear is, oh, this is the way I am, this is my personality, this is my, I don't know, this is my lifestyle, these are things I like, blah 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 blah. And I mean, it is valid in a way, because God created us with all our uniqueness and all our the things that we desire and the things that we want and the things that we see and love and like and our values or whatever. But the truth of the matter is that what God created was perfect. You that he created was perfect. And you have to understand that before you came into the knowledge of the fact that God created you as a perfect person, you were made imperfect from time. You were made imperfect by sin. So understand that the way you were before you met God is not the way you're supposed to be. That's not the God, that's not the you that he created. Because when you come in contact with the amazing gift that God has given us, the gift of salvation, there is like an explosion that happens. So it's like a collision, right? So you come in, you collide with God, and then there is this beautiful explosion that happens, and then there is a change. Like, you're not the same after that. You can't be the same after that. And then that change is a positive change from who you were to who you are supposed to be, right? I don't know if you guys are following this thing, but I'm just trying to let you know that the whole point of your salvation is for there to be a transformation, and you're supposed to become more like Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be more like your maker. You're not supposed to be more like, you're not, your initial old self is not to be enhanced. It's supposed to just mellow down, calm down, and then God is on top. And then when we see him. And the thing is, God is just so, he's so pure. And when I say pure, if you did chemistry in like high school or whatever, you have substances that are pure, right? And then you have substances that are impure. God is so pure that when you look at him, you cannot see a speck of anything different from God. You can't. There's no extra. It's God, and he's just so concentrated as God. He's concentrated in his holiness and all that. Like, imagine if you have something that is so beautifully white and is pure, perfect white, right? And then you now have something that is a little bit white, but not white, it's off-white, and you put it side by side, the difference will be clear. And that's the thing, the goal is not to be off-white, the goal is to be white. For instance, if we're using colors as the analogy, the goal is to be white. And so when we see something that's off-white, it doesn't just fly because it looks obviously so different. It now looks black. The off-white will be feeling like black, but it's just off-white. So no matter how close you can, you try to say, okay, let me just make this a little bit like, but it's not really there. It just might not fly, right? So using your personality to say, oh, this is how I am. You know, one thing I love saying is that I cannot say this is who I am if it's not how God has made me to be. If it's not how he has made me to be, I can't say. And I used to be that person. I would say, oh, this is how I am, these are just things I like, this is blah blah blah. But how did God make you, bro? That whole transformation thing that happens, the whole collision experience, when you come in contact with God, you're transformed, you're changed, you're starting to look more like him. It's a thing of you're starting to look more like him, and you're starting to look less like yourself and the world. So imagine if we have a line, and then there's one extreme, and that's God, and there's another extreme, and that's the world. Let's say that you're somewhere in the middle. Let's say you were not very bad before. Let's say you're somewhere like around the middle, but when you come in contact with God, you're moving to one end of the spectrum and away from another end of the spectrum. I feel like some people want to move towards God and really take some things from the world and adopt it into the whole thing. But no, we're not making a cocktail here. This is not mix and match. We're trying to be like Christ and less like the rest of the world. Less like the things that are not Christ, right? So we're moving towards God and we're moving away from it, from the world, by the grace of God anyway. So there should be a clear difference between, first of all, there will be a difference between how you were before and how you are now. Second of all, there should be a difference between how you are and how other people in the world are. I don't know if I'm communicating. So these are even things, these are pointers, because at every point in time, we should want to be so sure that my name is written in the book of life. Like, I want to be so sure that I'm going to heaven. I want to be so sure, and this is not even the reason why I love God, but I just want to be so sure that I'm right. So just check yourself. How different am I from how I used to be before? How different am I? What are the things that have changed about me? Stuff like that, right? Okay. So this whole transformation thing that we're talking about, I don't know if you guys can hear, but there are chickens in this house now, and they've really been testing me, and I've warned them it will not pass pepper soup that I'll use and just end the matter. Okay, so anyway, back to this transformation thing. I think it's important to note that as I'm talking, I'm not expecting anybody to do all this by themselves in their might or in your power, because you absolutely definitely cannot. The Holy Spirit is available to help. The Holy Spirit is available even for me, because there's so many times that I feel like, oh God, I genuinely want to be better in this aspect of my life. I can see that there's work that has to be done in this area, but I'm literally helpless. Like, I can't do it on my own. Not that I'm helpless, I have God to help me. But I can't, like, alone, with me alone, I can't do it, because I am unable to. I don't have the ability. See, we're talking about transformation on a heart level. Where do you want to start from? Even the best therapist cannot do the work that God is doing. It's just so amazing, because when you start thinking about it, I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about it. I mean, these things definitely help, and you're going to put in your work, but you have to understand that that transformation, it's only God that does it. He's the only one that does it. Like, he's the only one that does it, and it will be perfect. And it's important, that whole thing about perfect, because when God does a thing, it's good. When he does a thing, it's final. It's done. It's done. It's literally finished. It's done. But sometimes when we rely on a lot of other... when we rely on other sources that is just obviously not God, you now see there'll be one comma. Maybe when it's raining now, your body will be doing somehow. When it's hot, everything is okay. But as the weather or something, do you understand? Or there'll be a trigger when you see somebody, the thing is not now working again. Like, listen, the Holy Spirit is there for you. He's there to help you out, and it's just amazing. All you need to do is be willing to let him do the work, and he will do the work in you. So I think I just want to leave or summarize what I've been talking about. I know that I definitely have not been as crystal clear as I would like to be, but the devil that is whispering in my head the devil that is whispering in my head that, Esther, don't go and see the one that you yourself you're struggling with. I bind and cast you in the name of Jesus. But let me just give a summary of all this. One, forget what you know about being woke. In my opinion, in my most humble, honest opinion, forget what you know about being woke. It's okay to be old school, especially when it comes to kingdom principles, right? I like to say this to a lot of people. I understand that generations change. I understand that the world is evolving. Everything is changing. And trust me, there's nobody that understands that more than God. because it was in his design, in his plan for things to evolve and change as it's changing right now. So he knows, he sees that the way we think is definitely different from the way, okay, our parents thought. I mean, he knows that a lot of things are coming to light. We're understanding more and everything. We're getting a little bit, I don't even know if we're getting advanced or getting wiser or I don't even know, but things are just generally different. And God knows that. And so he knows that a lot of things in the way he comes down to our level to interact with us, you know, and meet us at these spaces that we're in. But never you think for a minute that God changes. Don't even think that he's going to change. Don't. Because times may change, but he doesn't change. If he changes, he's not God. Let me tell you, if whatever you're serving is changing, that's not God. So please, figure it out as soon as you can. God does not change. He doesn't change. So approach all these your new generation lifestyle with as much care. And I want to say criticism, but really pick at things a lot. Take it to God. If you don't want to talk to people about it, just talk to God about it. Ask him, God, you have to make this crystal clear for me. Because let me tell you, this journey, it's not a generational journey. That's the funny thing. They will not judge everybody that, okay, Generation Z, come here. Oh, so that we will know how it was in your time and we can't. Nah. You will really, really be on your own. So, there's this scripture that says, all things are lawful, but not all things are permissible. I think it was Paul that was saying that thing. Let me tell you, at the end of the day, God is relating to us on an individual level. So even if this thing is okay for other people, it might not be okay for you. It might not be acceptable for you. So just go and nicely ask your daddy that, hey, like, what's up about this? You know, you can talk to your spiritual leaders. You can talk to your parents. You can talk to your mentors. You can talk to people that you trust and everything about it. Have that conversation. But most importantly, I would advise that you talk to God about it and ask him, you know, where do I go from here? I'm having this thing I'm dealing with, I'm struggling with. I want to know if you're taking it, take it away. If you're leaving it and giving me some way to deal with it or navigate it, then let's understand what's happening. The second thing I would say is that don't think you can do it on your own. And I think I stressed this earlier, you know, because you can't. God is there to help you. And I've spoken about God and the Holy Spirit and how important they are, you know, to this transformation process. But I don't think I've spoken about community. When you're doing something in an area that is just you, it can get lonely. It will get lonely. And you might be tempted to go back. You might be tempted to go back when things get difficult, because this journey is not one that is just very, very, you know, easy to navigate like that. Or not easy, simple, you know. So you might be tempted to go back. But let me tell you, when you have a community that you can be completely honest and vulnerable with, you can share your struggles, they can share theirs too and encourage each other, then, you know, it's just basically better for your growth. And it's better for you to just be in that space where people can enlighten you, people that have gone ahead of you before. There's nothing you're struggling with that somebody has not struggled with. So just put yourself in that place. Find a Bible believing community to, you know, integrate yourself into. And yeah, have fun on this journey. The last thing I would say is be intentional about change. Be intentional about change. I'm shouting because I know a lot of people that are Christians, but they don't understand the change factor. Like, nothing has changed about them. And they don't even think it's necessary for there to be any change. But what I'm trying to say now is that it's not only necessary, but it's also evidence that and proof that there has been something that has happened. Like, the whole salvation idea is a change in itself. Like, the fact that you're even accepting that somebody died for your sin and now you're giving your life to that person and you want to live for them for the rest of your life, that's a change. In fact, the life has changed already. But now you have to be intentional. Like, sit on it. Sit on your salvation and say, you know what? It's me and you. I'll be watching you. I'll be monitoring you. I'm making sure that you're doing the work you're supposed to be doing. Do you understand? Making sure that the change is actually happening. You can get accountability partners. You can have God as your accountability partner too. You know, but just make sure that you're looking at this thing with your eye like this. You're measuring it and making sure that, hey, you know what? Old habits, they have to die. Things that the devil have sold me about myself that is not true, it has to disappear. You know, I have to start living and walking in a realization that I am one with God and He's one with me. He's now living inside of me. This is His temple now, His dwelling place, and we are doing this life thing together, right? So that's basically the conversation I wanted to have. If you have any questions, then please don't hesitate. My Instagram DMs are always open. You can send me a message there. Yeah, I think I also have my email on Instagram. But I just wanted to say this, and I think that if you're listening to this podcast and you have somebody in mind, or you think that there's somebody that would need to listen to this or might have a couple of questions or ideas or contributions to it, then please don't hesitate, send this as well, and I will see you guys in the next episode.